The following is a ray gun armed, faster than light presentation of GalacticNetcasts.com. Hello, welcome to episode number 15 of the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. For Thursday, December 22nd, 2011, I am the inter-Dave alongside Mr. Matt Stein. Happy holidays, Matt.
Hello, Dave.
It's our Christmas episode.
Wasn't last week Christmas?
Yeah, it's two episodes in a row. I didn't plan this well. If I would have planned it right, we would have done one Christmas movie, but we had to do two.
Well, these are both pretty quality movies, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, last week we did Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. Is that what it was called?
Yes.
And this week we did, well, you're going to find out after I describe how this podcast works. Every week we watch a different sci-fi movie and or TV show, although we haven't done an and yet. We should do that sometime, do a TV show and a movie. But it's usually either a movie or a TV show in the sci-fi genre. We watch it, and then we talk about it, discuss it, turn it inside out, outside in, and then we quiz not only you, Matt, but our listeners of how much you learned and how much you fell asleep during the movie. Did you fall asleep during this movie at all?
Did not fall asleep. Pretty close. I ate Subway, so that was the high point.
That was the high point of the whole movie watching experience, was your meal during it.
Well, yes, it took me less time to eat Subway than it did for Santa Claus to go through all of the nation.
Okay, let's talk about that in a second. First, we got to do this here. All right, this week's assignment, kids, boys and girls, was the 1959 movie Santa Claus, a decidedly darker story of the Christmas season. The movie, which was produced and filmed in Mexico, starred Jose... Okay, I'm going to totally screw these names up, so I apologize for me, and I apologize for me being totally Caucasian here, all right? Starring Jose Elias Moreno, Jose Luis Aguera, and Armando Areola?
No.
That's not it?
It looks the same, but I just wanted to say Areola.
Okay. Those guys were in it, and I forget who was who. I think the first guy was Santa Claus, and the second guy was the devil, and the third guy, I don't know who I was. Maybe that was Merlin. I have no idea.
I don't know. They were given, if you look on the Wikipedia page for the movie, they were given... I'm totally looking at the wrong one. Never mind.
Okay.
I was looking at the Christmas film starring Dudley Moore and John Lithgow.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of holiday movies. In fact, I'm going to be on a different podcast later on tonight. It's called a Spreecast, Spreecast.com, with a guy named Glenn Rubenstein, who is kind of known from doing the viral videos Lonely Girl 15, I think it was called.
Yes.
And he's also been on the Twit Network, so I'm looking forward to talking to him about this movie and other holiday movies. But the film that we're talking about was pretty bad, although it was considered a financial success over several holiday season theatrical releases in the 1960s and 70s. So not only was this movie released once, but was put in theaters several times. It was broadcast as a tradition in several on several U.S. television stations. The film garnered at least one award, winning the Golden Gate Award for Best International Family Film at the San Francisco International Film Festival in 1959. It was featured in the fifth season of Mystery Science Theater 3000 on an episode airing on Christmas Eve, 1993. The Devil Pitch became a recurring character on the show. So not only did they watch the film, but Pitch from this movie became a regular character on Mystery Science Theater 3000. That's crazy.
Yes.
What? That just shows the impression it made on those guys. Okay, as of this year, also Santa Claus ranks number 54 on the Internet Movie Database bottom 100 list based on voting by the site's users. So people don't really like, well, they either like it or hate it, or they like it, they hate it so much they love it. It's one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's movies that I like that are really bad that I think are awesome, so I can see how someone can do that, but...
Okay, I was going to save this for the end, but I'll say it now. If you take away the cheese factor, if you take away it was filmed in 1959 and it's a foreign film with bad overdubbing at times, take all that away, it's not a bad film. It's got a good message.
Yes.
It's interesting to see how Christmas was treated in 1959 in Mexico, because they changed some things up a little bit as far as the traditions when it comes to Santa Claus, what the North Pole looks like. Basically, he's not at the North Pole. He's in space.
Yes.
He's in a castle in space.
With weird eye, ear, and mouth.
Yeah. Oh, we'll talk about that coming up here. And then he's got the child labor going. He doesn't have elves working at his workshop. He has kids. He has children working for him, which I kind of felt weird about the whole time.
Yeah, but when you told me that it was from Mexico, it kind of played into the stereotype of sweatshops a little bit. So
yeah.
I thought it was kind of funny.
And it was 1959, so people weren't really thinking about that.
That's true, and I do like how, like I said before, the opening sequence where they went through all the countries, it literally took 10 minutes, and it was like they had to include every major country so that they didn't piss anyone off.
Pretty much, yeah. And the kids, for each country, the kids sang the traditional song of the country and pretty much the whole song.
Yeah, and Santa looked creepily excited to play that piano.
We learned something about Santa. He knows how to play the piano, which I didn't know.
He really plays the hell out of that piano, but he also looks like he's having a little too much fun underneath the piano.
Yeah. Okay. All right, before we continue any further, why don't you, after I play this here, hang on. Tell us, in your own words, Matt Stein, what was Santa Claus all about?
Santa Claus comes to Earth via a spaceship, basically to deliver his presents on Christmas Eve and stuff. But at the same time, Lucifer sends his little buddy Pitch to try and make all the kids bad. So you see, like, the first girl that he talks to basically fights evil and pisses Pitch off, so he goes and finds someone else. And there's a lot of funny little hijinks that ensue where Pitch is trying to screw up Santa. My favorite being when he moves the chimney. It just pushes the entire chimney over, and it somehow seals up the roof where the hole would be to go all the way
down. I guess
down.
He's using his devil powers for that.
Yes.
To do that.
I mean, he can do some other cool stuff. He started that, or he made the door handle all red hot and stuff just by blowing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's from hell, so you have to understand that his breath is the fires of hell, you know?
Yeah. Basically, that's the rest of the movie. It just kind of goes back and forth, and then ultimately good prevails. So, like you said before, a classic case of good versus evil.
Yeah, and you have to understand, too, that it wasn't Pitch's doing. Pitch was given a job by Lucifer.
Right.
And apparently this is a job that he screwed up before.
Right, and I can't remember what exactly said, but if he doesn't complete it successfully, like, I think Lucifer kills him, gets rid of him or something.
And he has to, Pitch's job is to basically turn all the children of the world evil to go against Santa Claus. He's using the kids of the world to defeat Santa Claus, and eventually that doesn't work, so Pitch has to go mano a mano against Santa Claus himself in a battle of good and evil, which Pitch is hilariously not good at.
No, it's pretty bad.
All right.
Get a bad costume, too.
Yeah. There was good parts and bad parts about this movie. Some costumes were bad. The sets were pretty good. They were pretty detailed. For a movie that came out in 1959, this was a pretty big production because they had musical numbers, they sang, I was impressed with the sets, the detail of the sets, and just the different traditions that it seems like this movie being from Mexico, they kind of highlighted the things that are different in our culturally between us and Mexico.
Right, which I didn't realize it was from Mexico until I'd asked you when I noticed how bad the overdubbing was. But once you look at it from the standpoint that it is from Mexico, a lot more makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's less out there and a little more, I hate to say practical because, you know, it's out there, but it makes more sense following the Mexican belief structure for Christmas.
All right, so you ready to find out what we learned, Matt?
Of course.
Why don't you start?
Well, we learned that Santa really liked to laugh a lot.
Okay, I was thinking about doing a whole like loop because there was several sequences in this movie where he did something like that, where he laughed for a little bit too long. You know, it's okay to laugh for a couple seconds, but he laughed for like half a minute.
I guess it all just plays into the movie's inability to concisely get points across.
Yeah, and
10 minutes to show a bunch of kids.
If they would have taken out the musical number at the beginning with the kids, showing all the kids from all the different places in the world, and then taken out all the places where Santa laughed, I think it would have been like a half hour shorter.
The movie would have been 15 minutes long.
Yeah. No, honestly, if you would have taken out all the unnecessary parts in this film, I think it would have been like a half hour.
No, I agree. It's hard to like go back and think of all the stuff that you can take out, but I think that's maybe why they did some of the stuff that they did as long as it was, to hit like that hour and a half mark.
Because I realized that we were running short, so let's make let's kill some time here, people.
We're going to go back and reshoot all the laughing scenes.
All right, so we learned what the devil's plan was. Here we go.
Yes, I promise, O priceless Prince of Hades, that by my many wiles I will finish off Santa forever and see that the children commit terrible deeds and make Santa Claus angry.
Go up, then, and show the world who is its real master.
So be it, Lucifer.
You know, I can understand this movie being a lesson for kids to be good.
No, I agree, and that's like you said, and it was hard for me to get over how cheesy it was, because I wasn't really super pumped to watch this movie because of how bad it looked. So it was easier for me to like nitpick it and be like, man, this sucks pretty bad. But if you take all that away, there was a really good message about being good and, you know, don't steal stuff and, you know.
And speaking of that, I think you're going to talk about that in this next clip, sort of.
Yes, yes. Let's see. We learned what it was like to be inside Lupita's dream.
Lupita was one of the little girls, or one of the little kids. She was a little girl, so here you go.
Why don't you steal us? We can all be yours.
No, you know that stealing is bad, and I want to be good.
But you must learn to steal.
No, you know stealing is bad, and I want to be good.
We dogs don't like good little girls.
No. To steal is evil, and I don't want to be evil.
You must be evil if you want a dog.
No, you know stealing is evil, and I don't want to be evil.
So Lupita was talking to a huge talking doll in that scene, and that was supposed to be inside her dream.
It was a creepy-looking doll, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I understand it was supposed to represent the doll that she attempted to steal and then changed her mind. But still, very creepy. Like, if I had a dream with those dolls, I would not be happy.
Okay, I want to talk about something real quick, too, is the overdubbing.
Oh.
Now, okay, did they go out of their way to... Did they purposely make the overdubbed into bad English from Mexican or from Spanish?
I'm assuming what happened was they... like made literal translations of what was said, and therefore words didn't match up and stuff, and for the time they probably didn't have a whole lot of money to really make it look a whole lot different.
Yeah.
I mean, there probably wasn't a great deal of stress on getting the words to look like they matched up.
Okay. Because it seemed like at times the translations didn't really work out that well. Didn't really make sense.
Most of the time they didn't make sense. But, yeah. I mean, I guess.
Like in that scene that we just listened to, she was like, Lupita was saying the same thing over and over again, basically. I don't want to be evil.
Right, and you know what, maybe that's what she really said in the original translation. It was probably a little different, but I know if like translating from English to Spanish, it, a lot of times it's hard for things to make sense, so I'm assuming that's just what happened.
All right, we'll go with that then. We learned the age difference between Santa Claus and the devil.
Our Betty can't even see well anymore. Too old to know what goes on.
What? Me too old? The devil is very many centuries older than I am. Those youngsters have got their nerve. Next to the devil, I'm just a child. It's just that I haven't been well lately. That really makes me... Let's see who those boys are. We'll see what they're up to.
Those were the... If you didn't watch the film, the very beginning of that audio clip was three kids, three boys sitting around talking about how they're trying to fool Santa Claus into thinking that they were good.
Yes.
And they were those were the boys that the devil already turned.
Yeah, and then they were saying that Santa Claus couldn't see him because of how old he was, so they wouldn't even know if he was bad or not.
Yep. All right. They don't know Santa as well as they think they know Santa. He knows everything.
No, he does. He's everywhere. I was going to say, make an inappropriate joke about child molesters, but I stopped.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on, we learned Santa's secret to keeping children asleep.
I love this one.
Well, Mr. Merlin, tell me if the sleeping powders are mixed. The dreaming powders that fill everyone with joy and goodwill and the flower to disappear.
What's the date, eh?
On the earth, it's the eve of the 25th of December.
Oh, so it is. In 3 minutes, they'll be ready. I shall reveal to you the secret of the magic stardust concocted by Merlin, which is unsurpassed for sound sleeping.
Okay, so that was Merlin. He's also in the castle in space. I think that maybe they included some Mexican traditions for Christmas and they made things up. Like, they added things, like putting Merlin in the story.
I don't, you know, we should have had Eddie on this one for questions.
Our friend Eddie is of Mexican descent, just to be, clarify
that.
Sometimes
I've had people actually listen to this. and I guess it would have been on short notice, and he probably works today, but.
Yeah.
Maybe we should, get a hold of him and ask him and then report back in two weeks.
I'm curious. Yeah, let's find out. Do some investigating and reporting and report back to us, Matt.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, so we'll find out if Merlin's actually in the Mexican tradition of the holidays. Or, you know, if you know, let us know. GalacticNetcast@gmail.com. Okay, where are we here? We learned what happens if Santa is not back from the Earth on time.
Well, Mr. Merlin...
Okay.
Tell me if
that's the wrong one. Here.
Whoops.
Here we go.
Don't forget that you've got to return to the castle ahead of the sunrise because the sun will turn the reindeer into dust.
Oh, no, sorry, no. I'll be here all right. In that case, I couldn't get back to the castle. And on what they use for food, I'd perish. Because here our main food is pastries and ice cream made of soft clouds. And on the earth, there's no such thing.
Ice cream made of soft clouds. That's awesome.
Sounds like a good time to me.
I know. What's their faces? What's that ice cream company?
Blue Bunny?
No. The two guys.
Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's. They should come up with that ice cream made of soft clouds. But they'd have to come up with a clever name for it.
Writing a letter.
They'd have to combine clouds into something in pop culture.
I don't know. Just call it The Cloud. It could be a play on soft cloud ice cream and internet storage.
Yes. 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 I like it. It's a mixed.
So it'd be soft cloud vanilla ice cream with a caramel swirl and chocolate memory chips.
You should work for those guys. Seriously, that was great. That was awesome.
I'll send him a letter.
Okay. okay. You're up.
Yes, we learned what happens when Santa becomes a waiter.
That's a strange cocktail, isn't it?
It's the cocktail of remembrance, which only I can prepare. Whoever drinks it will think of that which is most dear, and which at times, for some unknown reason, we seem to forget. So drink my cocktail, and you will become aware of that love which is closest to your hearts.
And those without love?
They couldn't drink this cocktail, as it would burn their throats.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was like last week when we watched Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, just the all of a sudden weird turn.
Yeah,
2 seconds and then it goes back to normal.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what they were trying to do there, but obviously trying to drive the point home.
Right. It had to be those two.
Yep, exactly. So Santa Claus really into the drugging in this movie. I want to hear that again, because this sounds really great.
Do it.
That's a strange cocktail, isn't it?
It's the cocktail of remembrance, which only I can prepare. Whoever drinks it will think of that which is most dear, and which at times, for some unknown reason, we seem to forget. So drink my cocktail. And
cocktail of remembrance.
So drink my cocktail.
Yeah, that's that could have been edited bad, but it wasn't.
Well, just don't cut out the second half of that word, and we're cool.
Okay. We learned what happened when the devil and Santa finally met.
It was a very funny sight. Old Whitebeard in his sack, running as if the devil himself were going to take him below.
You'll pay for your mischief. You just wait and see.
But first you'll have to come down from that tree. And I can have a lot of fun before you can get rid of Danny. Because you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wake up everybody.
Bah! Nobody can hear your voice.
They hear it in the form of their own private imagination or ideas. Let them see how foolish you appear.
Yeah, the clip portion of today's podcast, not as good as it usually is, just because the bad audio and the bad overdub.
Oh, it was bad all around in the audio department, but it gets the point across, so that's what matters.
Well, just to explain what was going on there, Santa was up in a tree because Pitch stole his disappearing flower and the powder to make people fall asleep. So people saw him. The dog saw him, and the dog chased him up the tree. And then Pitch was going to go. He did wake up everybody, convincing them that there was an intruder outside. So they came out, and then eventually Santa Claus got a hold of Merlin up in the castle in the sky, and everything was solved.
It was, yeah.
Okay. One more, and then we've got the test. Go ahead, Matt.
We learned what happens when Merlin tries to work out a problem.
Okay.
Mad dog against good is bad. Against black is white. Against a bad itch, scratch it. Against thirst, water. Against Mad Dog, the cat.
He was saying, the cat. Santa, his the way he solved this problem of getting Santa down from the tree was Santa was supposed to take one of the cat toys that were cats that would move out of his bag, and then it would chase the dog away. You got anything more to add?
No. I was like trying to like think that out in my head, like how that's a good idea, but it's not at all. It's pretty bad.
It's the silliness of this movie, so just get beyond that, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the What We Learned segment. Are you satisfied with all that?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for the test?
I think so. It'll be interesting.
Okay. Here we go. So, Matthew, are you sitting comfortably?
Yes, I am.
Did you take notes?
going to nine.
Okay. That's per usual. That's all right.
Whatever.
Hang on. Let's let the music play out first.
You just turn it off, too.
There you go. All right, we have seven questions, all pertaining to the movie Santa Claus. And here we go with question number one. Which of the... And by the way, there's only two multiple choices.
Okay.
Which of the following country was not represented in Santa's Toyland at the beginning with the whole musical section where they introduced all the countries with the kids? Which of the following countries was not represented in Santa's Toyland? Was it A, Africa, which isn't really a country, it's a continent, B, China, or C, Norway?
C, Norway.
How do you know that? Do you know
it? Because I remember Africa was first, and I was like, this is terribly racist, because they were dancing around with drums.
But then you realize that they did that for every single country.
Right. So I felt less bad about it. And I remember China because shortly thereafter was the Orient, and I was like, wait, isn't that all kind of like the same?
Yeah, but then the Orient they showed, it was supposed to be like India.
It didn't make any sense to me, but no, I know for a fact it's Norway.
All right. And you got it right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Question number two. What did Lucifer threaten pitch the devil with if he were to fail in his mission? What did Lucifer threaten pitch the devil with if he were to fail in his mission to corrupt the children and defeat Santa Claus? What was he going to force him to do?
Go to church?
I guess that would be a punishment if you were the devil.
Yeah, right. I mean, I remember...
It was something really stupid.
I know. I remember the scene and there... He's like sitting on that rock and the devil's talking to him. I don't know. Walk the dog?
That's incorrect.
I know.
Are you ready for the answer?
Yeah, hit me.
Force him to eat chocolate cake.
Oh, what? I don't even remember that.
Yes. And by the way, this is two movies in a row that we've had chocolate involved, because there was a scene in last week's Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh, with the pills?
Cake pills. It was chocolate. One of the flavors was chocolate cake, right? Or is it chocolate ice cream?
I think there was both. There was chocolate cake and chocolate ice cream. I remember there was an emphasis on chocolate ice cream because the little Earth boy didn't want to eat it.
Okay. All right. So we've got a theme going on here.
Chocolate and Christmas.
You are one for one.
Yes, sir.
Question three goes like this. What did Lupita, the poor little girl, want for Christmas? What did Lupita, the poor little girl, want for Christmas?
I guess...
If you don't get this, I'm going to slap you over the internet.
Well, I think I'm overthinking it. The first thing that comes to mind is the dolls, because that's what she tries to steal. And she's just cutting them off.
And dolls, I mean, dolls were in several scenes involving her. They were in her dream. And then at the end, they showed her getting that huge doll that was twice her size.
Right, right. It made the most sense, but there was other kids that wanted the love of their parents. So
okay. I could see how you could be confused by that. All right.
Yeah.
All right, so you are 2-1. 2-1. Question four. It looks like you're concentrating really hard, Matt.
I am.
You look nervous. All right, question four. When Santa got the letter for the kid asking for a little brother, what did he do with it? When Santa got the letter for the kid asking for a little brother, what did he do with it? A, put it in the stork slot. B, ripped it up. Or C, gave it to Mrs. Claus.
Put it in the stork slot.
That's funny to say, stork slot. All right, man. 3-1. 3-1. I had a hard time coming up with questions for this from this movie, by the way.
I don't doubt it at all.
Because, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of content. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, little clever things. It was all just kind of stupid, the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I get what you're saying. It was hard to watch.
Okay, question 5. What did Santa use to make himself disappear? What did Santa use? What item did Santa use to make himself invisible to others?
Like, specific?
Yeah.
He used the dust for Merlin. I can't remember what he called it, though.
No. There was one more thing. Remember? There was two things. There was the dust and something else. It was lost at one point. He held it in his hand. I'm giving you too many clues here. You're going to give up? Going to give up on this one?
I don't know. It's glasses.
What?
I don't know. I'm just taking a guess.
The answer is a flower. Flower.
Stupid.
Remember, he was holding the flower, and he lost the flower, and then he got it back again?
I kind of remember it.
It was at Lupita's house at the end? It just happened to fall there? Man, Matt, got to pay attention.
Give me better movies to watch.
Okay, I promise next week I have one name for you that's going to pique your interest.
Oh, I already read it.
Kurt Russell.
I have already read it.
All right, here. We have two more questions left. What was the first stop for Santa? What was the first stop for Santa? What city was the first stop for Santa?
Mexico.
Well, you got to be more specific.
I know. I don't know, Mexico?
That's the biggest city in Mexico.
Mexico City. That's my guess.
City. All right, here we go. Hang on. Ah! There we go. Okay, what really confused the hell out of me, because Santa said, oh, first up, Mexico City, but he never left. He never left. That's where he was when he had to go back, when he barely made it back to his castle in the sky.
Right. Yeah, the whole thing took place in Mexico City.
Yeah. But then one of the kids said, oh, he's gone here, he's gone there. No, he didn't. Santa said, when he was approaching Earth, first stop, Mexico City, and he never left.
Well, you know, Santa Claus is everywhere, so yes, he did leave.
Oh, by the way, that sleigh was the slowest ever. That was the slowest sleigh.
Everything about that sleigh was slow.
Yeah.
We can talk about that more later, though.
Okay, well, we got one more question left, and then we've got the discussion at the end, so here we go. Question number 7. You already won this, pretty much.
Yes, I did.
When Pitch made the doorknob red, how did Santa get into the house? When Pitch made the doorknob red hot with his breath, with his devil, Satan, evil breath, how did Santa get into the house?
I remember not knowing how he got in.
So you remember not remembering.
I walked into the kitchen, and I was like, wait, how the hell did he get inside?
Just process of elimination. Well, the major holes in a house. What are the
Right. When he tried to go down the chimney, he started the wood on fire, so he couldn't get in because it was hot. Front door doorknob was hot. My guess is the window.
See? Process of elimination. There's only so many holes in a house.
No, that's true.
So you got 3 wrong, 4 right. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you.
I think you got 3 wrong. Hang on, let me go back.
No, 5. I went 5-2.
Okay, 5-2. All right.
Is this our 15th podcast or 14th?
This is our 15th.
Did we not do a quiz on one? Because I only have a record for 14.
Okay, I don't know. No, because you didn't do one podcast. Yeah.
Stupid
water. I had Brad come in and pitch hit for you one week.
So this is my 10th win.
All right. I didn't know that you were keeping track.
Yeah, we decided to way back when.
Oh, wow. Okay, congratulations. You have a winning record, my friend.
I'm 10-3-1.
Oh, okay. So one is, that's tie?
Yeah, because 1 week you only had 8 questions.
Okay, yeah, I'm a dumbass. All right, so favorite parts and observations of Santa Claus.
I had no favorite part. I refuse to have a favorite part of this movie. Observations, though, the opening scene, which I'm still upset about its length. Then the sleigh, when he got off the sleigh, it's like he threw all this stuff over the side, and then it cuts to the top of the building, and it's just, like, slowly lowering. And how bad Santa was at getting off of that ladder. Like, you'd think he does it all the time. He should be pretty good at that thing.
Yeah, no, he was very clumsy.
Terrible.
You'd think that he'd be lightning fast. Like, you wouldn't even be able to actually see him. You know?
I feel like if Santa Claus was really as awesome as he was, he would just swan dive off of his sleigh down the chimney.
Well, if Santa Claus was actually realistic, he would either, A, be faster than light, and just, you know, he'd be there and gone without, like, within a blink of an eye. Or he would stop time. He would slow down time.
He's got to do something to get into all those buildings.
Yeah. Brad and I, on the Alien Invasion podcast, we came to the conclusion that Santa Claus is actually an alien.
It would make the most sense.
He's flying around in a spaceship, and he's got some kind of advanced alien powers.
So he's like a wizard and an alien. He's an alien wizard.
He's kind of like Merlin. But Merlin in this film was not very effective either.
No, he sucked pretty bad. He had a pretty righteous beard, though. I'll give him that much.
Yeah, that makes up for all of his weaknesses, shortcomings. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, here is what I thought about this film. I liked how in Santa's workshop, each device they used to spy on the children of Earth had a different human part on it, depending on what it was used for. For example, the satellite receiver had an ear, and the telescope had an eye. It reminded me of Pee-wee's Playhouse, kind of. You know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I didn't think about that one, though.
And the thing that they heard on had a mouth, so whenever they were getting a transmission, the mouth moved.
Yes. But I wonder if they did that just because it made the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to have a mouth talk to you from an ear listening? I don't know.
Well, no, yeah, this totally makes sense. I mean, this is a children's movie, but what confused me was the telescope. It had an eye, but it also had a telescope. It was also a telescope. So what was seeing what? Were you seeing through the telescope, or were you seeing through the eye?
Yes.
It's a very non-committal answer there, Matt.
No, yeah. I don't even know. The eye.
Okay, we'll just go with that.
Yep.
I thought it was kind of interesting that this Santa didn't have elves, but an army of child labor. We talked about that already.
Yes, but that could be Mexican folklore.
And child labor laws were maybe not as strict back in 1959.
Probably completely unheard of.
I was very impressed with the sets in this movie. They were very detailed. The sets in the castle, in the sky, not the sets.
I almost reluctant to say it, but when you said that sentence a little quick, one word could be mistaken for something else, and then it really made me.
Okay, I was very impressed with the sets, sets in this movie. What word?
Well, when you said sets quick, I was very impressed with the sets in this movie. Come on, Dave. Come on. Come on. I know I'm 10 years old, but seriously, you don't get that.
Okay, I get it. All right. Okay, this was the most detailed movie of any I've seen as far as behind-the-scenes stuff of how Santa worked. They seemed like they showed every little detail, like him practicing getting in and out of chimneys.
He had the different so that he could fit in the chimneys.
Yes, yes, it was very behind the scenes how the sausage is made kind of thing.
Probably another reason, like, and that's probably more stuff that they put in there to make the movie longer.
Yep, I think you're right. I agree. And finally, the sound they played whenever the devil appeared sounded like a window sound when you get an error.
Do you have that sound?
No, I don't. And I was thinking about
hear it.
I was thinking about getting it. But just if you watch this movie again, which you probably won't, but if you're listening to this podcast and you're curious about this movie and want to watch it, make that observation that the sound, whenever pitch appeared, was the sound that Windows makes when you get an error. That dung, dung. That's the best. That's close as I can get. Dung.
Awesome.
After the podcast, go find like a YouTube clip with all the Windows sounds on it, and you'll notice it.
Right, I'll have to do that in a minute.
All right, so that's it. That's my observations, favorite parts. Well, obviously, I did have some favorite parts, but it was more observations than anything. All right, so what we're going to do is take next week off for the holiday, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. We'll be back in 2012.
Oh, man.
Are you scared that 2012 is almost here and it's the end of the world?
Not at all.
This time next year, we may not be here.
What is the date? The 21st or the 12th?
12-12-12, isn't it? That's what I thought.
I thought it was like 12-21.
Okay, that's possible. Then a year yesterday, we'll be all dead. Or the rapture will be here, and some of us will be in heaven, some of us will be here living on hell on earth.
It is the 21st of 12.
Okay.
It's the Mayan end of the world.
Okay.
But, and maybe this is the wrong place to get into it, but I think that maybe the Mayan calendar just ran out. They only did it to 2012.
No, you're right. I've done enough. I've watched enough things about this that I've come to that conclusion as well.
Yeah. Who knows? Whatever.
All right. So that 2 weeks, we're going to do the movie
Soldier,
1998, Kurt Russell, a vehicle about a group of men born and bred to be shock troops in battle who are made obsolete by a new race of genetically engineered soldiers. Sergeant Todd, Kurt Russell, is one of the rejects left for dead on a junkyard planet. So a junkyard planet, is there like tires and like old cars everywhere?
That's my guess. Either that or it's just going to be discarded people.
Okay. There he slowly rediscovers his humanity while helping a community of human castaways battle the new breed of soldier threatening to wipe them out. So in 2 weeks, it's Soldier, so watch it. It's on Netflix streaming, and then join us for the podcast and join in on the discussion. If you want to leave feedback, Matt, how do people do that?
Let's see. You can email us at galacticnutcasts@gmail.com. Leave a comment at our voicemail number, which is 805-328-3966. Let's see. You can follow us on Twitter at galacticnutcast, no extra S. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/galacticnutcasts, or put us in your Google Plus circle, preferably awesomest two people ever circle.
Yes. Or David better than Matt circle.
Probably not going to happen because, as statistics shown, old men die before young guys.
But, okay. Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
I'm kidding. We should just have the two guys that are equally awesome.
Okay. Circle. All right. That's a good idea. Let's go with that.
I like that one.
All right. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us via iTunes, or just go to the website, galacticnetcast.com, click on either the iTunes logo, or you can fill out a form, which will you'll get a notification whenever we have a new podcast up and ready to listen to, and you'll get sent a link to listen to that podcast. Or, above all that, there's also Stitcher Smart Radio, which is an application that you can put on your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, your webOS devices, all that kind of stuff. And you can get it via your app store. And it's free. Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a great way to listen to podcasts. It's a great way to consume content on the internet. The best part is you don't have to you're changing the document. Stop it. You were making changes to it. It was distracting me. You were changing episode 15 to something else while I was speaking.
I changed. You had 14. I changed it to 15.
Oh, okay.
Don't screw it up.
Sorry. Thank you. I'm an ass, apparently. Yeah. All right. So what I was going to say about Stitcher is you don't have to download anything, and you don't have to take up any of your storage. It's just streaming to your phone or streaming to your device.
To deal with the downloads.
All right. With that, we say goodbye. Thank you for joining us for the Sci-Fi Film School podcast. Happy holidays, Matt.
You too, Dave.
This has been a presentation of Galactic Netcasts. To subscribe to this and our other podcasts, go to galacticnetcasts.com.